From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are tuned into another edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. Boy, oh boy, that weekend surely flew by, but I'm glad to be back behind the mic to bring you a fresh edition of Current Sports. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. They're always open around this time, all the way up until 2 o'clock. If you want to call in and be a part of anything that we talk about here on the show or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, call 517-355-9527. Of course, like each and every Monday, we have a lot to get to as we try and recap the weekend that was, including, of course, the Detroit Tigers. Of course, the trade deadline is this Friday, July 31st, and will David Price be a Detroit Tiger or will he won't? We'll discuss that. We'll also invite Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS-TV6 here in Lansing, as he made the trip out to Cooperstown, New York, to witness John Smoltz, along with Craig Biggio, Randy Johnson, and Pedro Martinez, as all four of those outstanding players were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Fred will talk about his reports and his experience down at Coopertown, and also will give his thoughts on the Tigers and John Smoltz's speech. We'll also have weekend winners for you and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this July 27th. We begin things with the Detroit Tigers. David Ortiz smacked 2 3-run homers and finished with a career-high 7 RBIs to carry the Boston Red Sox to an 11-1 win over the Detroit Tigers in the rubber match of a 3-game series on Sunday night at Fenway Park. Boston scored more than 4 runs for the first time since July 12th, a span of 10 games, and banged out a season-high 20 hits. Detroit only had 3 hits throughout that game. Detroit Tigers begin a 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays at Tropicana Field tonight. Right-hander Anibal Sanchez, who is 7-2 with a 3.30 ERA over his last 10 starts, will take the mound for the D. Bo McKinnon, the agent for David Price, told MLB Network Radio on Sunday he thinks Detroit Tigers general manager Dave Dombrowski will wait until Thursday or Friday before he makes a decision on whether to keep the ace pitcher or not. He went on to say, quote, "I have no doubt that Dave's going to drag it to Thursday or Friday. If I was in his shoes, that's what I would do. The team was set up to win, and it's just kind of hard to throw in the towel." In the 5th annual Big Ten Writers preseason poll run by Cleveland.com, the defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes were a unanimous pick to win the East Division and the conference title game. Michigan State was picked 2nd in the East, followed by Penn State and Michigan. Wisconsin was the favorite in the West, though Nebraska and Minnesota also received votes to win the West from the 40-member panel. Gavin Cupp, a 3-star offensive lineman from Ohio for the class of 2016, went to Ohio State's Friday Night Lights camp, and it apparently caught Michigan State's attention. Several media outlets say that the Spartans have poured their offer to Cupp for the 2016 class. Cleveland.com reports that Cupp has frequented the Columbus campus and would like to earn an Ohio State offer. To make up for Cupp, Michigan State offered another offensive lineman from the Buckeye State, 3-star recruit A.J. Arukuri. We'll see how that one pans out. We'll have more discussion on that offer being pulled in just a sec. Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis is set to make at least $917,000 this year. The raise comes via amended contract signed in February that went into effect on March 1st. He now has a base salary of $667,000 with an annual stay bonus of $197,000 and also gets a $53,000 contribution and a 401 A, retirement plan. His retention bonus is paid out June 30th each year and will increase to $222,000 in 2017. That's a lot of moolah. Hollis, MSU's AD since 2008, could get an additional bonus handed out through MSU President Luana K. Simon's discretion. Last October, Hollis got a $50,000 bonus. It must be nice. Congrats to Mark there. All right, three pitchers who combined to win the 9 Cy Young Awards and a member of Major League Baseball's 3,000 Hit Club were elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in balloting by the BBWAA verified by Ernest & Young. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz became the first trio of pitchers honored by the BBWAA in the same election. Each was on the ballot for the first time. Craig Biggio, who missed election last year by 2 votes, gained entry into this year's election in his 3rd time on the ballot. We'll have more from the Hall of Fame in just a sec. NFL officials will keep closer tabs on football inflation this year. According to multiple media reports, pregame pressure readings will now be documented, and there will be a random halftime and postgame recheck, as reported by Fox Sports and other outlets. Now, footballs will continue to be reacquired have at least 12.5 pounds per square inch of air and no more than 13.5 PSI. If a ball falls outside those numbers and the air pressure must be adjusted, it will be adjusted to 13.0 PSI. And last but not least, Kyle Busch's triumphant return following a horrible crash the day before the season-opening Daytona 500 continued Sunday with one of the biggest wins of his career. He grabbed an exclusive victory at Indy, where Busch won the Brickyard 400 for a weekend sweep at the historic track. Busch missed the first 11 races of the season with a broken right leg and broken left foot. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in right now and share your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you can call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show. Happy Monday, ladies and gents, boys and girls, and we are so glad that you have started your week right here on WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a hot show in store for you guys. Just a sec, we'll be inviting Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS TV6. He'll be joining me on the show to talk about the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony that took place yesterday. Of course, Lansing's very own John Smoltz, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He had a great speech that lasted almost 30 minutes, had some fantastic things to say, did it in his own way, just a blue-collar, humble guy. So we'll dive into his speech. Fred was out there in Cooperstown, New York, to witness it. I watched a bit of his report yesterday on the news. So I'm pretty sure he was in baseball heaven, being out in Cooperstown, New York. I mean, those who know Fred know that he is a huge, huge, huge baseball fan. I'm sure he went away from Cooperstown kicking and screaming, to say the least. So he'll join us on the line to chat about that. Before he does, we have a few things to take care of and a few things to discuss. Again, you want to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we dive into our discussion topics to kick this thing off, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, my man 50 Grand, Isaac Constance. How you doing, brother?
Al, doing well. Good weekend for sports. Well, that is, if you exclude the Tigers from the sporting world, pretty good weekend for sports. But anyway, it was absolutely beautiful this weekend. I had some friends come down from my first year of college.
Nice.
They lived all across the state, and they came down. One of them had a Jeep Wrangler. So we just drove around, top off, roof down. It was great.
The weather has been absolutely just spectacular these past few weeks. And I was telling you my boneheaded, idiotic move that I had throughout the weekend, Isaac. I'm actually taking some vacation. I'm taking a week off next week, guys. And going to Canada, you know, going to Toronto, Canada. My first time ever going to Toronto, Canada. They're having the Carabana Festival out there. But hey, to leave the country, you need a passport, right? So tell me why. You know, I actually went to Detroit this weekend, Isaac, and I was telling you this story, and you just kind of just shook your head like, Al, what's wrong with you, dude? I went to Detroit because I had to go through the Detroit Passport Agency in order to walk my passport through so that I'll get it in time. So I said, why not go to Detroit, see the fam, and just, you know, leave Monday morning early. I had an 8:30 appointment down there and just hit the road back to Lansing to do the show. Brilliant plan, right? But it wasn't until last night when I realized, uh-oh, I forgot all of my passport items that I need to attain the passport in Lansing. So I had to drive from Detroit to Lansing last night to grab that stuff. I stayed the night up here, woke up, drove back to Detroit at 8:30. Well, I woke up at 6 and hit the road around 7, got there around, you know, a little past 8:30, then had to drive back to Lansing to do the show. Talk about a waste of gas, huh? I mean, my car is probably so mad at me right now, but hey, got to do what you got to do. So I'm running off about 20 cups of coffee, maybe 19, around there, Isaac.
Man, Al, that's your baby too, your car. You can't treat her like that.
I'm telling you, man, I was so upset. If you would have seen my face when I realized I had left all of my materials up here, you would have, I mean, yeah, you would have put that on a meme on Instagram, okay? But anyway, let's get to the show, Isaac, because we got a lot to chat about. I'm excited about it. Hopefully you guys are too. First off, the MLB trade deadline is at the end of this week. We are we have hit that week, and many eyes are looking at the Detroit Tigers to make a move. Of course, the two big names that we've seen thrown around in this whole thing, and as we debate whether or not the Tigers are, you know, or should be buyers or sellers before the trade deadline hits, is, of course, those two names are David Price, pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, and Yoenis Cespedes. And all signs right now, when you talk about the rumor mill, all signs are pointing to those two individuals as to being dealt somewhere else in exchange for some incoming new talent for the Detroit Tigers. I don't think that David Price is going to be a Detroit Tiger after this week, Isaac, and maybe sooner. I mean, we may see this happen, you know, even sooner. I mean, you heard the comments in our quick hit headliners from, of course, David Price's agent, Bo McGinnis. And he told the MLB Network one Sunday that he thinks Tigers GM Dave Dombrowski will wait until Thursday or Friday right at the deadline before he makes a decision on whether to keep David Price or not. You know, some of the things he had to say about this move, just to read a quick quote from you. Quote, I had some folks that asked me my thoughts. Then I said, I feel like if they were going to go 5-3 in those 8, that Tigers president and GM, Dave Dombrowski, would hang on to Price past the deadline. And then he goes on to say, well, since I made that comment of them needing to go 5-3, they've actually gone 2-2. So it's kind of hard to say I'm optimistic about us staying. Yet I have no doubt that Dave's going to drag it to Thursday or Friday. If I was in his shoes, that's what I would do, because this team was set up to win and it's just kind of hard to throw in the towel. And I have to agree. I mean, you know, looking at the squad, first off, did you see what took place yesterday, Isaac? What? Oh. I mean, at 11-1, 20 hits compared to 3 hits on Detroit's side. I mean, Big Poppy goes absolutely crazy. And the Red Sox aren't like a juggernaut this year. I mean, it just kind of just shake your head and say, oh, my goodness. But with that being said, the Detroit Tigers right now are still 4 games out of a wild card spot. There's no way that they're catching the Kansas City Royals in the American League Central, so we can forget about that. So goals have to shift now. And, you know, if you are still competing, and if you're Brad Ausmus is the manager for this squad, you got to be looking at that 4 games and saying, hey, we're going to go out there and still try and chase that. Without a doubt. I mean, that's the type of mentality you have to have. Because in many ways, I do think that Brad Ausmus is really vying for his job right now. And is the way this team closes out the year is going to be indicative as to whether or not Dave Dombrowski keeps Brad Ausmus as the manager. And, you know, there's even a little heat on Dave Dombrowski in this whole thing. And we've chatted about that, you know, with this whole deadline looming. I don't think that David Price is staying And to be honest, Isaac, I mean, I've seen a lot of names thrown out there about what Detroit can acquire in dealing David Price. I don't see any big names out there. I don't see any game changers coming in that would help alleviate the Detroit Tigers' woes. If they are sellers, you're basically saying this season is down in the dumps. We're waving a white flag, and maybe we can rebuild in the future here. And I just think that's where their mentality is right now. And I always go back to what Dave Dombrowski had to say when the rumor started to come out about whether or not, well, when he was frankly asked whether or not this team is going to buy or sell with the deadline looming, and he didn't come directly out and say, we are buyers or we are sellers. He didn't come out and say it. So with that being said, or not being said, I should say, I think that the Tigers are going to deal Price and try and rebuild the squad. Because right now, if he doesn't even make a move here, if he keeps David Price, let's say the Tigers just sit on it and don't make any moves. They look like, hey, it makes Dave Dombrowski look bad. Like you're not doing anything to try and fix this problem. You know what I mean? So I don't see Price in a Detroit Tigers uniform. And then, you know, it's funny, you know, looking at Yoenis Cespedes, you know, it's being said that Yoenis Cespedes wants to be a part of this Tigers team. So if they do deal out Yoenis Cespedes, it's being said that he would like to return to the squad. Now, the thing that you worry about there is, okay, if Yoenis Cespedes wants to do that, let's say they deal him out to a team. What if he looks at that team that he's dealt to and says, wow, this is a much better situation than I was in Detroit, and stays there? So that's not anything concrete. But at the end of the day, the Tigers have to make a move. I think this is the last time we see David Price, though, as a Detroit Tiger.
Al, I don't think he's here past the week either. With that being said, I think if the Tigers, it makes sense. Just like Price's agent said, Bo McInnes, it makes sense to hold out until the end of the week. If the week goes by and some amazing revelation strikes the Tigers and they start batting 500 as a team and pitching no runs, then yeah, you're right back in that playoff race. You're in it right now, but you're on the outside looking in, and there's a pretty thick glass barrier between you and it. But if the Tigers can string together some wins and look really convincing doing so, maybe it makes sense to try to ride this thing out the rest of the season, because the Johnny Cueto trade kind of set the mark for me for what the Tigers can get from this David Price trade. Mm-hmm. Because so what it looks like to me, and you know, I'm no ESPN insider, but I think the Tigers will be able to get a relief pitcher, maybe a weak starter or an outfielder, and mm-hmm. then a prospect for David Price, because that's similar to what the Royals acquired for, or Royals traded away to get Cueto. So that's why I think, but none of that, in my opinion, would push the Tigers towards the playoffs. And the Tigers are in this sort of purgatory where you want them to rebuild. You do. But they can't totally rebuild because they've got Miggy, the best hitter in baseball. They've got Justin Verlander's contract, which is just humongous. Mm-hmm. And I also think, so I think the best move for the Tigers is trade away Price, get something while you can. But I think they should hold on to Cespedes. I think he's a valuable asset for this team going forward. And if he wants to be here, hey, that's something that the Tigers really need right now.
I would have a serious talk with him, knowing that, you know, supposedly he made those comments that he wants to stay in Detroit, even if they do deal him at this deadline. I would have a serious talk with him to see how, you know, how convincing he is with those words. Because, yeah, I mean, hey, maybe they can get rid of him. They can get something in return for him and still have him back next year. But, you know, it's so odd, man, because this team, you know, and I think Bo McInnes said it great. This team was built to win. This team was expected to at least have one World Series these past 5 years. They got really close in 2012, of course, playing the Yankees, and we all know how that series ended. But they've just constantly fell short. And, you know, to now talk about this team selling, and we all know, we've seen teams sell with, you know, that trade deadline looming right before, you know, the really, you know, that crazy stretch of baseball happens, and you talk about playoffs. We've seen teams that have sold, and it usually takes teams that have sold about like 2 years to rebuild. And it's so crazy that we're talking about the Detroit Tigers possibly selling in this whole context. But I do think it may be the right move because obviously what they have right now, Isaac, is just not enough. Just not enough.
And Price isn't staying.
So exactly.
If Price isn't staying, it's not going to get better next year if, you know, getting some second-rate pitcher to replace him. Therefore, just trade him, get as much as you can, and get some prospects because this team does have a solid foundation you can build around.
Right.
Miggy, that's not too bad. Anybody would love to have Miggy.
He's just got
to
get healthy. Right.
But J.D. Martinez as well, they can keep Cespedes, Iglesias. This is a solid team. Kinsler, I mean, there's so many players, but you need that pitcher. You need somebody. And Price, if he's not going to be the guy in the long term, you need to find somebody else.
I agree. And you got to address the bullpen. Dave, are you listening? Address the bullpen. My goodness. We've been talking about that thing for I don't know how long, since the dinosaurs were walking the earth. So, you know, there's glaring needs for this team that they need in the future, and moves certainly have to be made. We'll see how this thing pans out. What do you think the Tigers should and will do? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, Isaac, got to bring up this story. It's a recruiting story. You guys know how much I hate recruiting. But we got to talk about it because, again, this 2016 incoming, MSU recruiting class, I mean, on paper, my goodness, do they look good or what? I mean, unbelievable stuff. And, you know, this is one of those stories that, I kind of had to really just make sure I got my facts right and read it piece by piece to see, you know, if I didn't miss anything. And originally when I read this article, Isaac, I was going through it, and, you know, you and I had talked about this also right before we hit the air, and I wanted to make sure that this young man had made a commitment verbally to become a football player here at Michigan State. And, you know, I didn't see it originally in the first article I read. Even the second article, I didn't see it. It was not mentioned whether or not, you know, he had committed or not. So I had to do some research and went around, and I actually saw that, supposedly he did make a commitment. His name is Gavin Cupp. 2016 three-star offensive lineman from Ohio, who's currently listed as a hard commit to Michigan State. And it says that, you know, he's been committed since May of this year. So, you know what? Coach D and his staff, I mean, they've been following this kid. They like him. You know, that's why the offer was out there and that, you know, Gavin made the commitment. But he made a few trips to Ohio. He went to Ohio State's Friday Night Lights camp, and it's been said that he has frequented the Columbus campus, and Ohio State may be on his mind. You don't know; it's kind of speculation. But at the same time, he has been making these visits, and it caught the attention of the Michigan State coaching staff, so much so that the Spartans have reportedly pulled their offer to Gavin Cupp for the 2016 class, which again is a very, very impressive class if you look at the personnel that have committed to the Spartans so far. And now the debate comes in on whether or not Michigan State should have done this. Do you fault at all Gavin Cupp for making these visits to Ohio State's campus, to the Friday Night Lights camp? Because I got to tell you, Isaac, if I saw one of my commits, and we know how the world of recruiting is. You never know what's on the mind of a young man. One thing could sway him, especially if they haven't signed a national letter of intent. Verbal commitments, hey, you can do whatever you want with a verbal commit. I mean, hey, you may say you're going somewhere else, but how many times have we seen recruits say they're going to somewhere else and then weeks later, months later, change their commitment to another school? We've seen that so often. So you can't put too much. You can put some weight, you know, when it comes to verbal commitments, but it's not anything set in stone. So, yeah, if I'm Coach D and I'm looking at a player who has verbally committed to my program, I'm looking at that player and he's making visits to Ohio State's campus. He's frequented the campus. He's at Ohio State's Friday Night Lights camp. I'm sitting there saying, why in the world are you visiting these camps and going to Ohio State's campus if you are a Michigan State recruit? And I may feel some type of way. So for me, I understand where Coach D and his staff is coming from with this move, because I may feel some type of way.
Oh, first off, I like the reference to Rich Homie.
You like that? You probably the only one to peep that, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that's the sparring fight song, too. Rich Homie's a sparring dog.
Rich Homie Quan, shout out to him. I actually interviewed Rich Homie at the Rose Bowl, too. That's another story, though, for another day. But, yeah.
Anyway, though, Michigan State. All right. Michigan State has had recruits visit other schools in the past, such as Lavert Hill, Jalen Hayes. But the difference with this is Mark D'Antonio supposedly made it very apparent to recruits that they wanted transparency. They were okay with recruits visiting other schools because that's not uncommon at all in college football. We talked about it. It's not uncommon for a soft commit. Now, this guy was a hard commit, which is a little bit different. But even
What is the difference?
I wish I could tell you.
Exactly. When you say he's a hard commit, well, I don't even know what that means.
I thought originally that a hard commit meant you had signed something, but if so, that's...
Well, the only thing that really is set in stone that means you have to attend that institution next
letter
season...
Letter of intent.
Is a national letter of intent, an NLT. NLI.
Yeah, I actually thought the two, the hard commit and a letter of intent, were synonymous, but apparently not. Anyway, though... The thing with Cup is he did not let MSU know he was touring OSU. I mean, the campus, I'm sure it's beautiful over there in Columbus. It's not nice enough to take a few trips down when you're committed to Michigan State. There's plenty up here. So,
shots fired, Isaac. Huh?
Oh, yeah. But the other thing is right after this, I mean, Michigan State is done with Gavin Cup. That's not really a question for me. Mm-hmm. He removed the future Michigan State sparring from his Twitter bio, and MSU actually offered offensive tackle A.J. Arcuri from Ohio an offer right after they removed the offer from, or reportedly removed the offer from Cup. So I think they're done with Cup, and I don't think it's unfair. The dude should not be going to Ohio State camps if he's a Michigan State recruit. A commit is a commit. Commitment's a big word. We talked about this so many times.
But it does, like I said, it does not hold a lot of weight when you're talking about, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids.
Unfortunately.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I mean, again, their minds can change at the drop of a dime. I could write a book on this. I mean, how many times have we seen kids do that? So at the end of the day, I think, you know, hey, Coach D, he obviously, you know, felt that this kid was not all in to be a Spartan. So, you know, he wasn't even going to entertain anything else. He obviously had some inside, you know, state of mind, maybe even talk with Gavin about it, that said that, okay, you know, this guy's on the fence and we're not going to waste our time with it. Or obviously he wouldn't have pulled his, you know, his scholarship offer. So, at the end of the day, Michigan State will live. That 2016 recruiting class, again, it is pretty impressive. I mean, you know, Messiah DeWeaver, I'm really excited to see him out on the field. But, you know, it's a stacked class. So at the end of the day, I understood where Coach D is coming from. And, hey, you know, who knows? It's going to be interesting. Maybe Urban Meyer offers this kid a scholarship pretty soon.
Oh, I'd be interested to see that because this Gavin Cup had a decent bit of offers. He had offers from West Virginia.
Yep.
And other really prestigious schools that are
I'm looking here, and you know, I'm looking at the other offers. He's got offers from West Virginia, Missouri, Cincinnati, and others, a plethora of others. So
that's not a bad list. So he'll have options. This obviously, it's got to be a little bit demoralizing to have a scholarship offered pulled from beneath your shoe. But Gavin Cup, he'll be fine. He'll end up at some really prestigious school, do great. And also MSU, the same goes for them. Because like we said, they can go from three-star recruit to three-star recruit all the time. In fact, D'Antonio's career has been based off of three- and two-star recruits. Mm-hmm. Now that MSU is prestigious enough to get four-star and five-star, that's great. That's a bonus.
Exactly.
But they've got plenty of time and plenty of space. They know how to work the three stars.
Oh,
they know how
certainly.
To find them in the system.
And looking at some of these names I wanted to bring up here, like Cameron Chambers, wide receiver from New Jersey. He's a four-star recruit. You know, other four stars, Messiah DeWeaver, of course, as I brought up, from Huber Heights, Ohio. He's going to be fantastic, I think. Naquan Jones, Evanston, Illinois, defensive tackle. Noah Davis, that's another name I wanted to bring up, you know, from Cincinnati, Ohio. He's a kicker. He's a great kicker. I mean, this class is stacked. I mean, they're being dubbed as Dream Team 16. And I remember we had Darian Harris on not too long ago on Current Sports TV to talk about this incoming class. He's got a chance to meet some of these young men. The future is bright because this could be the best recruiting class that we've ever seen, maybe, in Michigan State football history. This class has that type of potential. So, hey, they're not crying because they lost, you know, or even pulled a scholarship, you know, from Gavin Cup. Hey, it happens. That's the world of recruiting. They're not gonna, you know, gonna sulk over this at all, I don't think.
You're exactly right, Al. Like you said, I would go as far to say that this is the best recruiting class ever in Michigan State football history. So
you can make that argument, yeah.
There are plenty of offensive tackles out there. It's not one of those positions that's really in dire need or really rare. So, yeah, MSU will land on their feet, and so will Cup.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll invite Freddie Heumann, sports director at WLS-TV6, to talk about his time in Cooperstown, New York, to witness the newest class of the Baseball Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. In just a minute, we're going to invite Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS-TV6. We can't seem to get him right now, so we're going to keep trying to call. But in the meantime, I want to talk about, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony that took place, of course, yesterday. Fun stuff. I got a chance to listen to a few of the speeches. How about Pedro Martinez? My goodness. I mean, he just turned the Hall of Fame induction ceremony into his own little party. Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, dancing on stage. He looked pretty fly, you know, wearing the coat of arms from the Dominican Republic on his right arm and the USA on his left. You know, every speech had its own, you know, interesting, you know, twist. I mean, that really exemplified the personalities that were inducted. Of course, you're talking about Craig Biggio, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, and Lansing's very own John Smoltz. How cool is that, folks? John Smoltz, of course, from right here in Lansing. He used to play baseball for Waverly High School. You know, we all know that Diamond Classic footage that has only been donned at Channel 6. Channel 6 is the only place that has that footage of that home run moment in which, you know, I think this may be number two now. I think number one certainly is being inducted on Sunday into the Baseball Hall of Fame. But, you know, before that moment, he called that moment at the Diamond Classic his most memorable ever. But very cool stuff. Isaac, did you get a chance to see any of the speeches at the Hall of Fame yesterday?
Oh, I did. I thought, like you said, Pedro Martinez stole the show. The guy could have his own. He belongs on Comedy Central in addition to MLB Network.
He's great, isn't he? He's fantastic. And then you look, you know, with the jacket that he had on. Oh, man. I mean, he was absolutely. I think in the last 5 minutes of his speech were in his native land's language, as you know, to close out the speech. I mean, a great way to do it. And Smoltz, I mean, Smoltz went up there and talked. And it's funny because I was watching some of his pre-speech comments, or maybe it was his post-speech comments. I'm not sure, but he went up to the podium and said that he had practiced that speech all week and he had timed it to be around about 18 minutes, right? And of course, he went almost 30 minutes, so that didn't quite work out. He had a lot of people to thank. And just to show you the type of, you know, blue-collar player that he is, you know, he's always been that type of a guy. He mentioned Alan Trammell and how when Alan Trammell was on the Detroit Tigers squad, and the first time he met him, he said, "If you need anything, I'm right here for you. This is your house," is basically what Alan Trammell had to say to John Smoltz. And he felt right at home when that happened, right at home. And he also even went on to talk about, how Alan Trammell taught him how to be a professional baseball player, how to carry yourself on the field and off of it. And just to show you the type of guy that John Smoltz is, he even brought up and thanked, the kids, the clubhouse kids.
I mean, who does that? And no, I mean, that just shows you and kind of puts in perspective the type of guy that John Smoltz is. And, you know, one of the reasons why he's one of the most beloved athletes that this area has ever seen.
Well, Al, and you also talk about what my favorite takeaway from his speech was when he talked about the four most important phone calls of his life. That was absolutely memorable. Of course, one was getting drafted by the Detroit Tigers, getting traded by the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And then the Hall of Fame actual call-up was one of them. It shows you how, you know, we had Chase DeYoung a couple of weeks on this show. Mm-hmm. And there's something about baseball. There really is. It's an American legend, tradition, and all the trades, the minor league work, and all of that, it pays off. And John right. Smoltz is a perfect example of that. Somebody who was just at just in Lansing, just pitching, hitting, and he came all the way up and drafted by the Tigers, traded to the Braves, and now he's in the Hall of Fame after a 21-year career. Outstanding.
200 wins, 154 saves, yeah. I think that's Hall of Fame worthy, right? Unbelievable stuff from Smoltz. But, you know, I think, you know, looking at the Hall of Fame, you know, is one of the most coveted, you know, class or venue in the world of sports. There's nothing like the Baseball Hall of Fame, folks. And, you know, it's so interesting to see, you know, over time, especially, you know, this past class for me, when watching guys like Smoltz, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, and Craig Biggio. It was almost like the ending of an era, or my childhood, if you will. You know, those guys were guys that I watched, you know, growing up, and I couldn't imagine them leaving a game, you know? But now to see them being inducted to the Hall of Fame, it's like the passing of a torch now. It's a new era in the game of baseball. I kind of equate it to, you know, in the NBA when I was watching, you know, guys like Kobe play, you know, and Tracy McGrady and all of those guys, Shaq. You know, when those guys retired, well, Kobe's still playing, for goodness sake, but he's on the last heels of retirement now. When those guys were playing, I said, oh, my goodness, they're going to play forever. Allen Iverson, another one of those guys. I said, well, those guys are going to play forever. I mean, that's my childhood. And looking at Randy Johnson, I remember watching Randy Johnson play and Pedro play. You know, those guys were the guys of the 90s, you know, some of the guys in the 90s that I looked at. And now that they're moving into the Baseball Hall of Fame now, it's kind of a quasi feeling, you know, that, hey, it's the end of an era, if you will.
It is, Al. I remember having the old joysticks out playing with Randy Johnson.
I'm telling you.
Simmering fastball and MLB 2K4 or whatever it was.
Right.
I don't think 2K actually had MLB back then, but whatever
right.
video game franchise made it. And, yeah, this is an end of an era. Craig Biggio is another one. 3,000 hit club. Mr. Astro, pretty much. He's mm-hmm. the face of the Houston Astros. He's gone on to do great things in the front office as well. There's just so much to say about this Hall of Fame class, and you're right. When these players retired, this was one of the, wow, end of an era moments. The guys that shined in the 90s, late 80s, and then retired in the early 2000s, really makes you reminisce about your childhood a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I'm very excited because you talk about Hall of Fames. This Thursday, actually, Isaac, will be the newest induction ceremony that is held annually at the Lansing Center. Bob Every is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. And the newest class will be inducted this Thursday evening. Of course, we'll be out there. I saw an email from Bob, actually. I got to get back with him, but we'll be out there covering it and bringing you interviews and exclusive footage from the ceremony. I'm putting together a nice little highlight package for you guys. And John Smoltz was a guy who was inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame as well back in the day. So, you know, it's very cool stuff because if you go down to the Lansing Center and you walk the halls of the Lansing Center, I mean, you can look up and you see different jerseys of athletes who have been inducted into the Hall of Fame here in Lansing. And I'm excited to have Bob Every on later on in the week and to talk about just his memories of watching John Smoltz grow up in this area and play. He was also even, I don't know a lot of people even noticed, but he was also even a high school basketball coach in this area as well. But, you know, I'm excited to just pick Bob's brain on the type of guy that John Smoltz is and was, especially growing up here in Lansing, because it's got to be a crazy feeling. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to see the career of anyone that I covered or anyone that I've met blossom into a Hall of Fame career. I think I may have one, and maybe Draymond Green, if he continues on the pace that he is. He may be, who knows, a future NBA Hall of Fame guy. But it's got to be a pretty cool feeling to know that individual. You've seen that individual's game mature over time into greatness, to be honest with you all. And I know many of you guys out there probably saw John growing up. And I will be, you know, I'm very curious to hear if you guys have any memories of John and any feelings about seeing him get inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame on Sunday. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Just quick news here. The NFLPA and NFL have engaged in settlement talks regarding Tom Brady's appeal. Sources say that a negotiated settlement is unlikely. So I wanted to bring that to you guys. So the settlement that we've heard was rumored, you know, that was on the table for the NFL to accept, that's not likely going to happen. And I really think the NFL is sort of dragging this whole thing out with Tom. I'm very surprised if they have not came out and said, okay, this is what the punishment is. I think right now, I think the NFL right now, Isaac, is more so concerned about their image at the end of the day. So we'll see how that pans out. Also, I'm seeing this as well. The Heat announced that a trade of Shabazz Napier to the Orlando Magic in exchange for a projected 2016 draft pick has also been in order. So now, hey, maybe even Keith Appling and Shabazz Napier will hit the hardwood together. So that news has also come through. All right, well, we finally got him. I don't know if he was sleeping. I don't know what Fred was doing, but we got him online right now. He's on line one. It's my pleasure to welcome Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS-TV6. How you doing, Fred?
Yeah, how you doing? But I'm sorry, every Monday Kim Kardashian calls me, and I was on the phone with her, so I'm done.
I knew it was that. You know what? That thought did cross my mind. We all know the playboy that you are, Fred Heumann. So, hey, you're a very wanted man. I already know that, all right? So, Fred, first off, my man, you are back. Are you back here in Lansing from your trip, first off?
Oh, no. We got a great story. I can do a plug now. It's funny how you say this because sometimes, you know, in our business, you're in the right spot at the right time. We stayed over last night, and we decided to go by the Hall of Fame today to take, you know, I wanted to get a shot for the news of John Smoltz's plaque being in Cooperstown, you know, because they put it in Sunday night.
Right, okay.
So I was shooting a little, what we call in our business, VO or voiceover. I was shooting pictures of his plaque, and who walks in? John Smoltz.
Wow.
John Smoltz walked in to get with his family to get his picture taken with the plaque, his first look at the plaque. So, of course, I never turned the camera off, and I just finished editing and feeding that for our news tonight at 6 and mostly 11. So we've got John Smoltz seeing his plaque in place for the first time, getting his reaction, and, you know, he's posing for pictures with his family. So that delayed my trip. I'm just getting back on the road, Bart.
Oh, that is pretty cool stuff, Fred. Now, I actually got a chance literally about maybe like an hour or so ago to tune into WLNS.com and watch your report on Sports Overtime last night. Very cool stuff. You had some very cool interviews and footage of John up there on the podium. First off, I mean, Fred, we all know how big of a baseball fan you are. What was this trip like for you? It had to be baseball heaven.
Yeah, that trip to Cooperstown, it's the fourth time I've done it, LA. My dad took me as a kid, and then I took my son several years ago, and then I went for the first time as a media member 15 years ago. My friend Joe Falls was inducted from the Detroit News, God rest his soul. I haven't been back in 15 years, so, you know, this is the first kid from Lansing ever to get in. And the neat thing for me, the access to Smoltz wasn't great, to be honest with you. I'm glad I ran into him today. They don't let you get close to these guys, but I hung out with a lot of his best friends from Lansing. John arranged for his best friend, Chuck Coscarella, there to rent a house there, and I had a barbecue. I went to a barbecue with them and interviewed a lot of them and hung out with them, and I wrote down here with another one of his friends. John had, you know, many, many friends from Lansing come to this thing. Mm-hmm. His guest list between Atlanta and Lansing was over 200. So it was kind of neat to get that angle and hang out with those people and hear some old John Smoltz stories. In fact, when I interviewed his best buddy Chuck today after touring the Hall of Fame, he said he and John came to the Hall of Fame 30 years ago as kids to walk through this thing. And to think that here we are today and he's in it, it's just incredible.
It is certainly incredible, Fred. And, you know, looking at John's speech, I mean, I want to get your thoughts on his speech because, it was classy. That's what John Smoltz is. And, you know, he gave a tip of the cap to, of course, Alan Trammell. He also even mentioned the clubhouse kids. I mean, what did you think of John Smoltz's speech yesterday?
Well, I thought it was very good. He said he forgot. He said at a press conference afterwards, somebody asked him if he forgot anyone, and he said he forgot Ted Turner. And he said he overshot it by, it's supposed to be 18 minutes. His was 29 minutes and 14 seconds. But he said, what are they going to do, take me off the stage? He said every time I rehearsed it and read it, it was 18 minutes. But when he delivered it, it was over 29 minutes. But yeah, I thought the part about Trammell was the best when he told that story. I can share with you, he didn't say it in the speech, but when Alan Trammell welcomed him to the Tiger fraternity and said, you're one of us, I can tell you that Jack Morris did not feel the same way. Jack Morris did not treat John Smoltz very well at the time. They're friends now. But at the time, Jack Morris saw him as a kid trying to take his job.
Oh, wow. Gotcha. Competition. So, right.
Yeah, he wasn't very warm, but that was part of the competitor of Morris. So, you know, that's the way that goes. So it was really neat to be here. The Hall of Fame weekend, if you gave me a chance, Al, to go to Paris, France for a week or Cooperstown for 2 days, I'd take Cooperstown.
I'm sure you would.
It's just a great place to be. The whole community, if you love baseball, and even if you don't, that's the thing. You don't have to love baseball to think this whole environment is pretty neat. And Saturday night, there's a parade with all the Hall of Famers who are here. There were 49 of them. And they go one by one through downtown Main Street in a parade. Every Hall of Famer has his own car, and the last four cars, of course, had the next class of Hall of Famers, and the fans just go nuts, and Pedro Martinez was dancing in his car, and it was really cool.
Do you think that Pedro had probably, he kind of stole the show? I mean, I saw even his jacket, you know, it was pretty cool, because he had the Dominican Republic symbol on one shoulder, then he had the U.S. of A symbol, he came up there dancing. Yeah. Pedro really stole the show for me yesterday, Fred.
Yeah, I always admired Pedro, but I never thought he was that great a guy. He kind of won me over this weekend. You know, sometimes when players, when they get out of the athletic environment and the competitive thing, and you have to forgive me, Al, I'm paying a toll on the New York State Thruway here, and I've got to get my change. Hi, honey, I need a receipt, okay? Okay, I got to get receipts, Al. I got to get paid for this.
I know, yeah. Do you think?
So anyway,
wow.
So anyway, I'm right at the toll. This is the first time you've probably had anyone on live from the tollway.
This,
huh?
This is history. You are
anyway,
making radio history.
I'm through that, and I'm trying to follow somebody, so forgive me. But you know, sometimes athletes start saying when they get rid of their I mean, Kirk Gibson is a good example. I covered Kirk Gibson's career, and Kirk's a friend of mine now. Mm-hmm. And I used to see Kirk. Let's say I saw him at a restaurant, or I saw him away from the stadium. He'd say, hi, Fred, how you doing? I'd see him the same night with his uniform on, and I'd say, Kirk, you got a minute for an interview? And he'd say, bleep you, I'm working. Don't bother me. The same guy he said hello to at noon. This is the difference. When some of these guys put a uniform on, and Smoltz is the same way. Smoltz is a really nice guy.
Right.
But I'm glad in this Hall of Fame plaque I noticed today he has a scowl on his face. Because when 7:30 came and it came time to pitch, he had the scowl. And you know as well as I do that there's a certain intangible in athletes that when they put the game face on, they become a different person. That's what makes them special, Al.
Right. That's what makes them great. I mean, they know they have that ability to transform.
Look at one of your favorites. I don't mean to interrupt you. Look at the little silent assassin, Isaiah Thomas.
Right. Exactly.
Isaiah Thomas, there wasn't a more competitive athlete that I've ever covered than Isaiah Thomas. He had that great smile after the game and before the game, but during the game, he was an assassin.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's top of that, you know, fans, I talk to a lot of, a lot of my folks at home who are fans of certain athletes, and that's the part that they don't know about. I mean, you know, they see the facade a lot of these athletes have on TV when they're talking with the media. They're these great guys. But, again, I mean, and that's what makes them great. When they are in competitive competition mode, I mean, they transform into, like you said, a killer, basically. You know what I mean? And you know, I want to ask you this, Fred, because this is also a debate that we've had, and I'm getting Twitter comments as we speak that from people that want to ask you this. Why do you think that Trammell is not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, when you put his numbers against Ozzie Smith, they're very similar offensively. But Trammell, while he was a great fielder, didn't have quite the glove as Ozzie Smith, and he didn't have the color and the flair. And other than the 1 year, a lot of times Hall of Famers are about magic moments. Pitchers, for instance, that have thrown no-hitters, multiple no-hitters. Jim Bunning's an example. His numbers are okay, but he threw a no-hitter in each league. Sometimes those magic numbers, Al, right or wrong, push you over the hump. And Alan Trammell, though he probably should have and could have won a MVP in 1987 when he hit .340, he didn't get that MVP, so he doesn't have an MVP. He doesn't have a batting title. He played in one World Series.
So he hasn't had enough magic moments, right or wrong, to put him over the hump. Like a guy like Ozzie Smith, who had World Series moments and a big World Series home run, and he did the flip as he took the field, and he was colorful and acrobatic. Sometimes that's the difference between being in or being out.
That is so true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS TV6. Fred, I'm running out of time here.
Me too, Al. I gotta put gas in my rental car, so go ahead.
Right. I know you're on the grind right now, but quick thoughts as the trade deadline looms here at the end of the week. The Detroit Tigers, buyers or sellers, what do you think is going to happen?
I've changed in the last 48 hours. A week ago, I'd have told you they're not going to sell. Why would you sell when you're 3 or 4 games out of the wild card? And now I see this weekend when they lose 2 out of 3 to the pathetic Red Sox, who have lost 8 in a row, and the number 4 and 5 starters can't get me and you out. I don't think they're going anywhere, so now I think they're going to sell. I think they're going to get rid of Price and Cespedes, and I think that's unfortunate. They just, for whatever reason, don't have it this year. And I still think it's questionable to sell your best pieces when you're only 4 or 5 games out of the wild card. But when Dombrowski said today he's going to make a decision Thursday, and I think when Thursday comes, they're going to be sellers.
I'm with you 100%. Again, folks, the one, the only, Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS TV6. Fred, travel safely, my friend.
All right, Al, I'll see you later.
I'll see you, my man. All right, folks. Well, we will put a bow on today's show by bringing you weekend winners in just a sec. And also the NFL changing, I guess you can say, their quorum when it comes to deflated footballs in the NFL. You don't want to miss that story, folks. Stay tuned. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Man, you threw it back right there, Isaac. It ain't my fault, Mystical. Wow, that's great stuff.
It's a New Orleans boy, Al. Yeah, I gotta shout out to Mystical.
Mystical, thank goodness, man, he's doing well for himself. I know he got locked up not too long ago, but now he's out and making music. He's doing his thing. So, wow, that took me back. I didn't know you were gonna play that. Good stuff, man. All right, well, we have 7 minutes left in today's show, and we just finished up a great chat with Fred Heumann on the road as we speak from Cooperstown, New York, back here to Lansing, Michigan. Of course, Fred was out there reporting on the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and following John Smoltz everywhere. And I think, you know, Fred made it kind of an interesting point, you know, because I think that's the thing, you know, because Fred brought up about, you know, John Smoltz when it came to, you know, game time at 7 o'clock. You know, he's a great guy, very classy guy. You see him on camera. He's very well spoken. Just a fantastic guy. Good dude. But this is what separates, you know, the good players from Hall of Famers. Because when it becomes game time, they become just, you know, like Fred said, assassins. They want to go out there and beat you. And not just beat you, but stomp on your throat. And that's the side that I don't think a lot of fans understand when it comes to the greatness of certain athletes. You know, my favorite athlete out there, of course, of all time, you know, Michael Jordan. Michael was the same way. Very well-spoken, carried himself so elegantly in press conferences. I mean, you know, a good overall persona. But when Mike was on the court, and you saw it sometimes, he would talk trash to you. He would be in your grill. He was a pit bull. And that's the way that John Smoltz was. And that's what makes the greats great at the end of the day. And I think that's a very good point that Fred Heumann had to make.
Yeah, Al, I agree. Because you look at it, some players just have, we call it, killer instinct in the sports business. And that's what it is. MJ had it. Kobe's got it. Trammell had it. Anybody, not anybody who's anything, but a good bit of that top, that cream of the crop, do have that instinct because this is more than a game to them. This is more than a job. This is their life. So they take it very seriously and they know how to handle the media. But then when it comes to game time, they're totally focused in. And it works for those players.
Right. I agree, my man. All right, well, we only got 5 minutes left in the show, Isaac. We love to close out each and every Monday here on the show by recapping the weekend that was in the sporting world and bringing to you weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, all right, all right. So exactly who had the best weekend in the sporting world? Of course, we dub it Weekend Winners. We recap the weekend that was. And Isaac, I have to shout out the Special Olympics World Games in Los Angeles. It was very cool stuff. I don't know if you got a chance to see the opening ceremony. And we actually it kicked off by a speech from First Lady Michelle Obama, bringing together thousands of disabled athletes, quote unquote, to compete in 25 sports. Very, very cool stuff. It was just a joy to watch, and they knocked it out the park. If you haven't seen it, I mean, it's a quick Google. Very cool stuff. Even the return of Avril Lavigne. I haven't seen her in I don't know how long, but she also gave a performance during the opening ceremony of the Special Olympics. But just very cool stuff, because you see athletes who have battled and are continuing to battle through so much. And, to see them honored in that way and watching their incredible athletic performances over these next few weeks is going to be just a joy for me and sporting fans alike out there. So I would be remiss if I did not shout out the Special Olympic World Games.
Oh, it's an inspirational sporting event and an equally inspirational shout out. So first off, I'd like to submarine that and go even deeper. My weekend winner is the Atlanta Falcons, because they signed Red Lightning, the ball boy for Florida State. I'm not sure if you've seen him.
No.
His head's as ruddy as, I don't know, a ripe plum, not plum, tomato. He's the biggest redhead ball boy there is, and he made his name at Florida State basically for just running around with the players. He's got his own highlight reel. He's just a ball boy, but has his own highlight reel, captivated a nation. I love Red Lightning. So shout out to the Atlanta Falcons. They're winners. Great PR move, but also can't wait to see them in the majors. So
yeah,
that's one weekend winner. The other is Chris Froome, who this weekend took home the Tour de France, one of my favorite sporting events. In my opinion, the most grueling in the world.
Yeah, and I saw that. That's the second one, right? The second?
Second in a row. First right. Brit to win two in a row, actually. So shout out to Chris Froome, and what a win for him, and sad to see the Tour de France come to a close.
I know, right? Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's all about grueling. Oh, my goodness. That is certainly a grueling event. And also, I have to bring up Kyle Busch, who missed 11 races, the first 11 races of the year, with a broken right leg and broken left foot. Of course, he grabbed an elusive victory at Indy, where Busch won the Brickyard 400 for a weekend sweep at the historic track. Pretty cool stuff. Kyle Busch is tearing it up right now. Well, that wraps up today's Current Sports. A special shout out and thanks to Fred Heumann, sports director at WLNS TV6, for joining me on today's show. And of course, you for tuning in to today's show, today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic Monday and be easy, people.